Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
And we have a couple of little, it's ahead of Christmas yet, but a couple of little Christmas reminders and a guest that actually has a Christmas connection as well.
We do. And I tell you, by now, I read something in the paper the other day that said 30%, that's a chunk, 30 to 40% of the people out there have already finished their Christmas shopping. Is that possible?
Not in my house.
They were talking about online, and that's a great segue to what Jim wants to talk about, because if you are doing shopping online,
we have two different ways that you can help Catholic Radio by doing nothing more than you would normally do, and it doesn't cost you any more than it normally would, and yet we benefit. If you go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, you'll find along the right-hand side a little button that says Good Search. And if you just go there first, then go anywhere you want to on the internet. We don't care. If you make any purchase through there, we'll get, sometimes it's a percent, sometimes it's 2 or 3% of whatever your purchase is. It doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost us anything, and yet Catholic Radio benefits. And the other way is new, at least to us, it's a service called Amazon Smile. And if you've ever bought anything on the internet, chances are you've at least looked at Amazon, probably bought through Amazon. Well, if you go to Amazon Smile first, it will ask you what charity you want your contribution to go to, and you can type in just Catholic Radio Indy, and then we'll get, I think it's 0.5%, so spend lots and lots of money when you go that way.
You know, it does add up. The thing that I like about Amazon Smile is once you feed it in and once you subscribe to it, if you happen to go by accident to Amazon, and I've done this before, just pulled up Amazon on some other computer, it will say to me, you're at Amazon, you're not at Amazon Smile. Oh. And that's kind of nice, because you'll say, oh yeah, that's right. So it does remind you. So Amazon Smile, and that's all you have to, in fact, I think it's actually technically Smile at Amazon is the way it's fed in.
And there's a button for that at our website as well, catholicradioindy.org. Now, we said our guest had a connection to Christmas as well.
He does, Bethlehem and Christmas. Our guest today on Faith in Action is Brother Peter Bray. He is the Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University in Palestine. He is also a De La Salle Christian brother from New Zealand. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good, thank you very much.
You know, I love listening to you. We had a little bit of chatter before off air, and There's just something about an accent, brother. There's just something about an accent.
Well, I'm under the impression that I don't have an accent, but all of these people I'm gathering with have the accent.
Do we have cool accents?
Oh, well, you have accents.
Oh, brother. Well, that's good. That's good. You know, brother, as has been the habit here at Faith in Action, when we have had a guest who is a consecrated, has a vocation, and we are drawing to the end of the year for the year of the consecrated, and soon, of course, in December, we'll turn over to the year of mercy. I wonder if you could share with us your vocation story.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back a long way. I was a student of the Brothers in New Plymouth in New Zealand, a first-day student at a school there that the Brothers started. And in the course of the 5 years I spent there, I was impressed with the Brothers, particularly their community life. And the group of brothers who began the school had a real commitment to make the school work. And so I admired the dedication they had to what they were doing. And then there's one brother in particular, he was, you know, I'd have to admit, fairly tough on me, but the spirit that he brought to what he did really touched me. And so at the end of my time at the school, I joined the Brothers. I'd have to admit at the beginning, sort of just to have a look. And then one of the difficulty, because the Brothers only had two schools in New Zealand, I had to go to Australia, where the Brothers were centred in Sydney, to join. And when I got there, I went into the novitiate, and I would say that the reason I joined and the reason I stay are probably quite different. I'd say over the course of my years as a brother that I've grown to really appreciate what Jean-Baptiste de La Salle, the founder of the Brothers, was trying to do, the service of the poor through education. We're completely dedicated to education. It seemed to me that this is where God was calling me, and when I look back, not always at the time, but when I look back, I can see the way in which God has guided me, and some extraordinary, seemingly coincidences happened. And when I put all those together, I see this path that God's led me on, and it just seems that everything I've done up to the present has prepared me for Bethlehem University.
I love that you said seemingly coincidences. I have a little plaque in my sunroom that says, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. I love that.
That's nice.
You know, some of our listeners, we have a number of listeners who aren't Catholic and a number of listeners who are brand spanking new Catholics, and some that are formed, well-formed, and some that aren't. And we, of course, have a lot of priests and nuns who come and visit Catholic Radio, but not so often brothers. We don't see them so often as we did when we were kids. I went to a Catholic school, and there was an order of brothers who came through, actually, and taught us, but not so much anymore. And I wonder if you could tell us, we know that many priests take vows and nuns of maybe obedience and poverty and chastity. And does your order, do you take the very same order?
Well, we take those three, and then we have a vow of association as well.
And what is that?
It means that, when Jean-Baptiste de La Salle started the Brothers, he was a fairly wealthy, from a fairly wealthy family, and he became a priest in Reims and became a canon at the cathedral. And then he was gradually drawn into work with these young people in schools. And what he tried to do was to get a group of men to work with him. Now, virtually all of the first group just left him. And he gradually brought this group together. He originally brought them into his home, and then he gave up his wealth and lived with them. But the problem was of keeping the group together. So they made a vow of association, and at one stage, the heroic vow that the four of them made to live on bread and water in order to keep this project going. And I suppose, you know, for me, one of the things that has inspired me is at the end of his life, like many saints, he had a fairly difficult time in getting things underway. And at the end of his life, he was excommunicated. He ran into problems with a large number of bishops, and then with the writing masters, because he introduced the whole idea of teaching in classes rather than individuals. And so it was undermining the writing masters' felt, their occupation. And at the end of his life, it looked as though all the things he had put his energy into were going to collapse. And his response was, "Lord, the work is yours." And I suppose that sense of faith, that belief that this was God's work that he was on about, is something that I've become very, very aware of at Bethlehem University. And so that's become a mantra for me, because from my perspective, Bethlehem University and what we are doing in Palestine with the Palestinian people is not my agenda. It's not my work. And I'll be there for a number of years, and then somebody else will take over. So it's God's work that we are part of. And I think, as a brother and following in the footsteps of Jean-Baptiste de La Salle, it's a matter of remembering that we're continually living in the presence of God, and this is God's work that we're on about.
Now, how large an organization are the Brothers?
Well, we're in, I think, 82 countries around the world. We're the largest group of brothers, not the largest religious order, but the largest brothers. And we're here in the United States. And around the world, I think there are about 4,500 brothers.
You know, maybe it's because the vow of association that you take, that you're the largest group of brothers. I have not heard that vow before, and I think that's wonderful. I have a brother who was a Crozier brother for a number of years, and he said, lived in a Crozier monastery in Onamia, in Nebraska, and he said those years that he spent there, living in community, doing everything, you know, by themselves, what were the happiest years of his life, happiest years of his life. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Brother Peter Bray. He is the Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University in Palestine. We've spoken a little bit about his call to vocation. And we're going to take a break in just a minute, but what I would like to talk about in the second half is not only the university, because you're doing great work over there, but a little bit about the history of the conflict. I think that a lot of listeners hear about it. We see it on the nightly news. There's not a week that goes by that we're not talking about the Palestinians. Or the conflict, or the Israelis, or we hear a lot about that, brother, and we get snippets. But if you don't dig back into the history, I think that a lot of our listeners will not understand how the conflict started. So after the break, let's take a break. We'll be right back, and give us a little tidbit.
We know life can be a bit hectic, so you may not have the time to catch your favorite Catholic Radio Indie programs when they air. That's why we now have all of our weekend and weekday locally produced programs available on podcast. You can listen to Faith in Action, The Last Pew, and Catholic Jukebox Indiana, along with our newest shows, The Faith-Filled Physician and The Catholic Cave, anytime, 24/7, by going to our website, catholicradioindy.org, click on the Programming tab, then go to Podcasts of Local Programs. All your favorites will be waiting for you right there, so you can check out our local program offerings anytime. Catholic Radio Indy, your source for 100% Catholic programming on the air and now available on podcast.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Dr. Yes. I just invoked to hire Brother Peter Bray. Although you are quite learned, you are I could call you Doctor Peter Bray, Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University in Palestine. We talked during the first half a little bit about your vocation story and the foundation plant of the university in Palestine. I would like to maybe give our listeners a little bit of a picture from your point of view. I mentioned off air, I heard in Googling you, I saw a few of your talks on YouTube. You're a wonderful speaker, very natural, by the way. It's natural that you would be an advocate traveling around. You mentioned some interesting statistics, and I think if you told us a little bit, just kind of a snapshot. I know it's complicated. I know it's difficult, and we couldn't cover it here if we wanted to. But maybe a snapshot about the beginning of this. Go from 1946. Start in 1946.
Okay, I think, you know, it's really important to acknowledge that it is a very, very complicated situation there. And anybody who tries very succinctly to give the answer is missing the point. I think the thing that I have continually emphasized is the implications of the occupation for Bethlehem University. I don't really want to get into a political debate about the situation. What I'm looking at and most concerned about are the implications for our students. Now, the implications arise from the occupation, and the occupation arises from what has happened, say, if you go back to prior to 1946, where the Palestinians had 90% of the land. And so, you know, the myth that's often perpetrated that this is a land without a people for a people without a land is just absolutely wrong. There were Palestinian people there way before 1946. In fact, you know, this is where Christianity began. You know, there have been Palestinians there right from the beginning. So in 1946, they had 90% of the land, and then without any consultation with the Palestinians, the United Nations in 1947 divided the land between the well, there weren't Israeli government, the country didn't exist then, but between the Jewish people and the Palestinians, and they ended up with 44% of the land, or 43% of the land. And then in 1948 was the Nakba, the displacement of the Palestinian people, and as a result of that, between 1948 and 1967, the Palestinians were left with 22% of the land. And then in the 1967 war, the Israelis invaded the West Bank. And as a result of that, the Palestinians ended up with 11% of the land. That was in 1999, that the figures I have. But with the expansion of the settlements into the West Bank, I'd say it would be well down below 10% now.
You know, that in itself, I know you said it would be oversimplifying to just talk about the people without a land and land without a people. That would be oversimplification. But it is certainly an issue that we can wrap our head around as a starting point, as a jumping off point. Yes, it's so much more convoluted than that. But that in itself, is enough for us to understand the beginnings. I would like to talk a little bit, go over to the university, because it's very interesting that you are a Christian university in the middle of this. Many students gave testimonials. I love that. They're all very interesting. But help us to understand, help our listeners to understand a little bit about the school, its mission, and then just basically, I understand there are restrictions even on the diversity of the school. So talk to that a little bit.
I could spend a couple of hours doing this, but just very briefly, you know, Bethlehem University was founded in 1973. It arose out of the visit to the Holy Land by Pope Paul VI in 1964. But it opened its doors on the 1st of October 1973 with 112 students. It now has 3,200 students. All of them are Palestinian. Now, what we are trying to do there is complex also. But one of the things I've often been asked is, you know, Palestine now has less than 2% of its population Christian. And so I've often been asked, well, what is an unashamedly Catholic university doing in a country where there's only 2% Christian? You know, are we supporting the Christians here? Are we trying to keep Christians here? To a certain extent, yes, that is the thing. But my response has been, well, if you go back 2,000 years when Jesus walked those lands, there weren't any Christians there at all then. So, you know, what was he doing there when he was talking to people, when he was engaging? What was he doing? And I think the answer is in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, verse 10. Why have I come? I have come that they may have life, life in all its fullness. So that's what Jesus was on about, and that's what Bethlehem University is on about. Whether they be Christians or Muslims or no faith at all, what we are trying to do is to create an atmosphere, to create an environment, to provide an opportunity for young people to learn how to live life as fully as they possibly can within the context, within the restrictions that they are having to contend with. So that's our mission, to serve the Palestinian people through education. I'd say that what we are doing in having 30% of our student population as Christians in a country where there's at less than 2%, there's a significant way in which we are reaching out to support Christians. And one of the reasons I'm aiming for, it's a bit between 27 and 30% at present. One of the reasons I'm aiming for that number is that it gives a, I'm not sure about a critical mass, but a significant number of Christian students there. It means that there is support for the Christian students. So they're not isolated individuals in a sea of Muslim students. But the other side of that is that it's impossible, with that number of Christians there, it's impossible for our Muslim students to avoid being involved with Christians. And we have a number of Muslim students. I had recently had a clip of an interview with one who came from Hebron. There are no Christians down there. and really had never come in contact with Christians until he came to Bethlehem University. He'd heard about them, how strange they were, the odd people, these Christians, but he'd never actually engaged with them. He came to Bethlehem University, he had to sit in class with them, he had to be on the campus with them, he had to be in the cafeteria with them, and he realized that all of those strange things he heard were not true, and that in fact they were very much like him as a Palestinian under occupation in Palestine. And now one of his best friends is a Christian. And I think my argument is that if we can get more Muslims with that appreciation of Christians, then the context within which the Christians are going to be living is going to be much more supportive of them. And so I think one of the real contributions Bethlehem University is making is providing an opportunity where Muslims and Christians can come together and understand one another and be supportive of one another.
Okay, so you beg a question. That was well put. That was very well put. I wonder, first I have a couple questions. So the Bethlehem University in Palestine, first of all, is it a liberal arts college? And how affordable is this for the students? Yeah. How I know that just here, let's just talk about here. Yeah. I know that a number of children need to have scholarships just to be able to attend. Mm. And I imagine that you have a similar situation over there. But tell us about that.
Well, the financial position that we're in is one of the extraordinary aspects of Bethlehem University, because the contribution from the students contribute about a little between 35% and 40% of our operating budget. So we have to raise somewhere in the vicinity of 60% of our operating budget each year just to survive. Now, this year our operating budget's around $14 million. So it's around about $10 million a year we have to raise to operate. Just as an aside, in April I was with a think tank in Washington, and you know, most of them were significant business people, and when I talked to them about that, they just couldn't understand that we would have the faith, I suppose, launch out with 40% of our operating budget. And yet one of the miracles of Bethlehem University is that we've survived for 40 years that way. But it costs $44,000 to have a student on campus. Now, many of them have no chance whatsoever of contributing anywhere near that. So we've been able to build up a series of scholarships and financial aid, and a student is never ousted from Bethlehem University because of finance.
You know, I think we need to hit a point with our listeners. You mentioned in one of your talks that the school is a beacon of hope and of peace for the community, for the students, really. Yeah. And we just have a few minutes left, and I wish you would talk about that a little bit. And further than that, back to your roots as a brother, how education is a beacon.
Okay. Well, there are three things that we are seeking to do at Bethlehem University. Because of the harsh environment so many of our students come from, I want, when they walk onto the campus, I want them to know that they are safe, and I want them to know that there are people there who really, really care about them. So we talk about that as creating an oasis of peace for them. And many people who come to the campus talk about how peaceful it is, and that's something that we prize. And I think one of our biggest challenges is to keep hope alive. And when I've thought about that, it is different to optimism. See, when the Palestinians people look back over the last 60 years, there's very little that leads them to be optimistic. This is my seventh year at Bethlehem University, and in that time, things have got worse for the Palestinian people. So hope is different from optimism. And the way I've come to understand it is that for our students, being a beacon of hope for them is about them realizing that the things that they are going through, the restrictions that they're under, the suffering that they're going through, they're not going through by themselves, that there are people who are prepared to stand in solidarity with them. We at Bethlehem University, standing with them, working with them, prepared to provide an education for them. And every group that comes to Bethlehem University that I have the chance to talk to, I thank them for coming. because it's so easy for our students to get the impression that they're the difficult ones, they're the ones that are causing the problem. And having them come on campus is giving the lie to that. So we're a beacon of hope in the sense that we are showing our students that, you know, they're not alone, that there are people standing in solidarity with them. And then we're an educational institution, so we are, the third thing we're trying to do is be a provider of quality higher education.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you live or work in downtown Indianapolis and would like to attend Mass on weekdays, before work, on your lunch hour, or after work? The four Catholic parishes of downtown Indy invite you to the Lord's Table each weekday. Holy Rosary Parish offers the Mass at 7:30 a.m. every Monday through Friday. St. Mary's celebrates Mass at noon Tuesday through Friday, or you can join St. John the Evangelist at 12:10 p.m. Monday through Friday, and the Mass is available at Saints Peter and Paul Cathedral Monday through Friday at 5:15 p.m. Join in the celebration.
Our guest today on Faith in Action, Brother Peter Bray. He's the Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University in Palestine. We just have a little over a minute left, Brother. There's so much more I would like to have covered. I'm sure there's so much more you would like to have said.
Indeed.
We've learned so much from you, but if you could leave one parting thought with our listeners in the minute that we have left, what would it be, Brother?
Well, I suppose it would be that, you know, we are walking in the land that Jesus walked, that we are seeking to be a Jesus for that. St. Francis, who went to the Holy Land, talked about, you know, we need to preach the good news at all times. At all times, and if necessary, to use words. And I think so much of what we are doing at Bethlehem University is preaching the good news by what we are doing, by the way we engage with students, by the way in which we create an environment where students can, as I mentioned before, learn to live life as fully as they possibly can.
You used my favorite quote. That is my favorite quote of all time. God bless you, Brother Peter Bray, Vice Chancellor of Bethlehem University in Palestine. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcast.
Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. We'd like to thank our supporters, our underwriters, and all those who pray for our success each day. Catholic Radio Indy, 100% Catholic programming, 24/7.